presented by DogNation.com. This is Dog Nation Daily, the daily podcast for Georgia Bulldogs fans. Here's your host, Brandon Adams.
You cannot slap the smile off my face right now. I realize that some of you would probably like to try, but nonetheless, you're not getting rid of this smile. That's how excited I am about tomorrow, Dog Nation Days of Summer, Brasstown Valley Resort and Spa. I have been telling you a lot about this over the course of the last few weeks, and I'm going to be telling you a whole lot more between now and tomorrow, including inviting you to join us, even if it's just driving over to be a part of the public event that starts that night at 6 p.m. We'll talk about that throughout the show. We also have a very special guest on our program today. We'll talk to a very important member of Georgia's 1980 National Championship team. Scott Werner will be on this program. He'll be with us tomorrow at Brasstown, and you'll get a taste of why it's going to be so much fun when we get together in the North Georgia Mountains tomorrow. But before that, we've got some other business to take care of. Let me begin this way. This was shared with me, and I wanted to share it with you. I guess the Carolina Panthers are doing their own version of Hard Knocks. They're putting it out. It's not an hour long, and it's not on HBO. It's just on their own website. This was a few minute, couple minute video, and it was profiling a couple of the guys trying to make the Panthers team. One of those was former Georgia running back Elijah Holyfield. Now, you know the story with Holyfield by now. He left after his junior season, then did not get drafted. That was obviously a huge disappointment for him, and I remember talking to him back during, say, the pro day in Athens and that build up to the draft. He was very frustrated about the narrative that had emerged around him. He did not perform well with his 40-yard dashes. I think he trained to improve upon those for the pro day, and I don't think he was all that much happier about that performance either compared to the NFL Combine. The fact is, Holyfield put out a very impressive game film during his year running the football for Georgia in 2018. And obviously, he's got the physical specs here. He's in incredible shape. He's strong. He brings the physicality on the football field. But in the minds of a lot of NFL scouts, he just wasn't fast enough. And therefore, he didn't get drafted. And therefore, he finds himself trying to fight and scratch and claw to make an NFL roster with the Carolina Panthers. But the attitude that Holyfield brings to the table, I think, it's a pretty good one. And if you're a UGA fan wondering how things are going for him, or if you're a Georgia fan and you hope that some of what Holyfield seems to have, this Georgia team can find this season, I think you'll like this from him. Now, I'll put a link to the Panthers website when we post the show, our podcast, later on today at theworldfamousdognation.com. But let me give you a brief audio clip of Holyfield talking about his mindset as he tries to make the Carolina Panthers. I thought this was really good. It's short, but take a listen.
It's been a long offseason so far, so when you're at camp, you kind of don't have to worry about the outside distractions as much. But it does add a little chip, you know. I would like to bring like a toughness and an attitude to this camp. I just want to be on the 53-man roster.
So, first of all, how much better would Dog Nation Daily sound if we just had that music playing underneath everything that I said? It just sounds so much cooler and so much nicer there. I do like that underneath Holyfield. But also, some of the things that Holyfield says there I think are really good. And I'm rooting for this guy. In a lot of ways, I'm rooting for a guy like Holyfield. No disrespect to DeAndre Baker. Not to say that I'm not rooting for him, but his life got made the moment he was drafted in the first round. You know, obviously, it'd be really cool to see him go on and have great NFL success, but he set up his family for a long time to come by being drafted in the first round by the New York Giants. That's the work that Holyfield's trying to do right now. Get on that roster, make a name for himself in preseason games, make a name for himself as a rookie, work his way towards a second NFL contract, which will likely be the financial security that he'll live on for many years after that. For some reason, I'm gravitated towards the underdog stories when it comes to the NFL. For a lot of the former Georgia guys, I feel that way. When I do watch Hard Knocks on HBO or whatever network it's on now, I guess I kind of find myself sort of thinking the same kind of stuff. Those stories of, will so-and-so make this roster, and can you impress enough during a preseason game to do that? I'm always really attracted to that. So from that standpoint, I'm rooting for Holyfield. But that is not the only reason why I played that audio clip as a part of our program today. There are a few things that Holyfield said there that he says he brings to the NFL that I hope Georgia still has with him gone. one of the things he talked about was a toughness and a physicality. We know how important that is to Kirby Smart, and we think Holyfield, going back to what he did in a Georgia uniform a year ago, is a pretty good embodiment of all of that. He is not afraid to lower his shoulder. He is not afraid. I mean, in fact, going back to some of the stuff at the start of the season, he talked about how he was looking for contact. He wanted to run angry. He wanted to play the game in a physical way. He wasn't necessarily looking to run around someone or run past someone. He was looking to get a chance to lower the boom on them. And that's good for Georgia, right? With Holyfield now taking that attitude to the NFL, and if I had to predict, although I'm no certainly NFL scout or talent evaluator or even expert on that league one way or another, my guess is that Holyfield plays the Panthers this year. The stuff that he talks about there, I think, helps him, you know, make that roster. And I hope that Georgia has some of that with him gone. He said, yeah, I've probably got a chip on my shoulder. And I can tell you this, and Connor Riley, who's back from California, stood right there with me when we talked to him inside the House of Pain, the indoor practice facility in Athens back in January. It's pretty obvious that Elijah Holyfield has a chip on his shoulder. He's mad that people think he's too slow. Well, I don't know how you conjure that up for this Georgia team this year, but somehow, some way, I hope this Georgia team also has a chip on its shoulder. I hope this Georgia team also feels doubted, feels unproven, feels the need to go out and vanquish some critics. Now, for anyone who played on this 2018 team or was a part of the disappointment at the end of the 2017 team, that was an easy thing to find, right? I mean, it's easy to say, oh, coming up short against Alabama gives you the chip on the shoulder. What about the guys, maybe it's true freshmen, maybe it's redshirt freshmen from the 2018 signing class? What about guys who haven't played yet? How do they get what Holyfield has? A nice dose of madness, a nice taste of just orneriness about people thinking you're not quite good enough. Let's face it, the unfortunate byproduct of having a lot of five-star players in your roster is not all these guys have ever faced what it feels like to be doubted. Not all these guys have ever faced the motivation that can come from going out and proving that people were wrong about you. And I'm all about the stats typically, and I am always about Georgia collecting the most talent it can on a roster, because ultimately those are the things that really matter more than anything else. But some of what Holyfield has, I think, matters too. And as he moves on for the Carolina Panthers, I think that's going to serve him well in terms of hopefully making that roster. And finding a dose of that for these current Georgia players, I think that would be pretty good for the Dogs as well. Let me change the subject and talk about something else just for a couple of minutes here. And indulge me for a moment, if you don't mind. I guess the UGA takeover is currently ongoing on the SEC Network. I have been very busy this week. Most of you are probably the same way. I have not watched much TV of any stripe this week, but I did see some social media reaction to the fact that I guess it started midnight last night and it kind of continues on today. And I do like these things. I feel like that this particular portion of the year, late July moving into early August, is kind of like its own part of the college football calendar. It's the time of year where the networks, SEC Network a lot, I'm sure ESPNU, some of the others do this too, where they start replaying some of these old games, whether it be 2 years old, a year old, 20 years old, whatever else. It seems like we don't get as much of this during May and June. We get a lot more of this late July moving into August, and obviously the ones involving the Georgia Bulldogs are far more interesting than any other for me and probably most of the people watching and listening right now. Couldn't help but notice, though, that the games that the SEC Network is showing as a part of the UGA takeover, and I'm sure Maria Taylor or somebody like that was heavily involved in picking this stuff, given her status as a UGA grad. You get the Rose Bowl in there. You've got SEC championship wins against LSU in 2005, I believe, the Auburn win in 2017. And for the most part, if we were to say, hey, which are the Georgia games that get shown on TV replays, we kind of know what they are. It's the Herschel era game against Tennessee from 1980. It's the Beluda Scott game, also against Florida, from 1980. There's just kind of a, if you'll pardon the fancy word, there's kind of a canon of UGA games that get shown anytime there's these TV replays being shown. I guess I'm kind of curious to hear from you, and maybe we'll weigh in on this either on Twitter at Dog Nation Daily, or you can put it in the comments section for those of you watching live on Facebook, YouTube, or Twitter. Are there some B-side games you wish you get to see a little bit more of? For instance, the 85 Florida game. Wasn't that the one that Georgia won 24-3? I can tell you a lot of Gators fans from that era Very good team. Pretty big favorite that day. Got waxed by an underdog Georgia Bulldogs. At least my understanding, I was very young at the time, but my understanding was kind of an underdog team going in there and dominating a favored Florida. That was a devastating blow to the Gators. That's one of those games I wouldn't mind seeing on TV. Now, Florida may have been on probation back then, so I don't even know if the game actually aired on regular TV, but that's one of those games I wouldn't mind, you know, seeing on TV a little more of. I mentioned the 80 games from Florida and Tennessee. What about the 82 Auburn game? It feels like we don't see that one on TV quite as much as I might like. Some of the modern era stuff as well. Some of the 97 Georgia Tech is a good, fun finish. Seems like we don't see that on TV quite as much. An underrated Larry Munson call as well. There are probably a few of these. I'd love to hear your thoughts on that. You can weigh in, and we'll keep that kind of fun conversation going. One thing to be sure, though, when you start seeing this stuff popping up on television, that means the season is getting all that much closer, and that, I can promise you, is a very good thing. My name is Brandon Adams, and this is Dog Nation Daily, the daily podcast for Georgia Bulldogs fans, and there are a lot of ways you can catch up with our program live on video, 10 a.m. Dog Nation Facebook, YouTube, Twitter. We're on the radio at noon on Athens Sports Radio 960 The Ref, and we are available as a podcast pretty much everywhere, Apple, Google, the world-famous DogNation.com. Really glad to have you with us. And I said this off the top of the program, and I'll say it again. Tomorrow is going to be so much fun. So if you're in the mood for a last-minute getaway, book your room. Be with us tomorrow night at Brasstown Valley Resort and Spa. If you already live in the North Georgia area, whether it be North Georgia Mountains, my old stomping grounds there, and you know, kind of Hall County, just short drive away, or just anywhere driving distance to Towns County tomorrow, drive over and see us. Our event's going to start at 6 p.m., that's tomorrow night. I'm going to do Dog Nation Daily there Friday morning at 10 a.m. Towns County itself has got so much going on. Lake Chetook is gorgeous, y'all. And the mountains are there, and there are all kinds of amenities at Brasstown Valley Resort and Spa. It is just a perfect, perfect place for you to go and be a part of. I really am so much looking forward to this, writing some notes to some of the folks who are going to be with us. I was doing that last night and a little bit early this morning. Just, it's going to be an awesome time. So for all of you who are already planning to come, let me say thank you. For those of you who are kind of on the fence about coming, I'm telling you right now, anybody who was at our last one will tell you, this is not the kind of thing you're going to want to miss. We're going to have a great time. Comes at a perfect time for me as we get ready to sort of say goodbye to summer. We'll do that in style tomorrow night and then on Friday morning at a Brasstown Valley Resort and Spa. Play a little golf Friday afternoon. They've got a great tournament going on that weekend, so you can extend your stay throughout the weekend at Brasstown Valley Resort and Spa. It is just going to be a great time. Go to DogNation.com for more details on that. All right, so speaking of that, I'm going to talk to Scott Werner, the great former Georgia Bulldog, who will be with us tomorrow night at Brasstown Valley Resort and Spa. He will be with us here today on Dog Nation Daily, coming up in just a couple of minutes. Before that, we will also squeeze in Mike Griffith to get a preview of Georgia practice, which begins on Friday. We'll still keep going with the regular football stuff, despite the fact we got summer fun on our mind in Brasstown Valley Resort and Spa. We'll do Mike Griffith here in a couple of minutes. And before that, we'll also go around the doghouse. It is presented today by my friends at Engineered Solutions of Georgia. And in the aftermath of everything going on with the Kendall Milton decision on Monday, there was also another fun piece that Jeff Sintel put up at DogNation.com on another recruit, and I wanted to make sure you see this. Let me drive your attention towards that, because I believe that Noah Sewell, the linebacker out of Utah, is really one of the unique recruits in this 2020 class because of how big he is, because of how fast he is. I've told you before that some of the national analysts have said, as a defensive lineman, this guy, you know, could potentially be one of the best at that position. As a linebacker, he could potentially be one of the best at that position. He truly is a bit of a hybrid of both. He runs so well, though, that linebacker is the spot he seems to gravitate towards. And at least to a degree, he is also kind of gravitating a bit towards the University of Georgia. Now, the Dogs are not the only big-time player for his services, but no doubt Sewell likes something about the Dogs. And in a video that Jeff was able to record with Sewell, in a written story you can see at DogNation.com, here is a brief taste of Sewell explaining what about Georgia he likes right now.
I really like it. It's really a brotherhood in the linebacker room. They really are all comfortable with each other. I mean, every activity they do, they bring everybody, even the walk-ons.
The other fun thing that Jeff Sintel points out in his story at DogNation.com is that Sewell plans his official visit to Georgia for that Notre Dame game. Now, we already have a pretty long visitors list growing for what's going to happen that night, September 21st, against the Notre Dame Fighting Irish. The game, seemingly from a hype standpoint, could not get any bigger, and yet with additions of guys like Sewell making an official visit, the expectations for Darnell Washington and others, boy, this is already just a gigantic moment on the UGA recruiting calendar and a pretty pivotal moment for the Dogs' pursuit of a national championship in 2019 as well. I'm sure we will have more on Sewell this afternoon as a part of Before the Hedges presented by Kroger. That comes up at 3 p.m. Eastern time. I hope you will see us there for that. But for now, though, let me remind you that Around the Doghouse is presented today by Engineered Solutions of Georgia. And I love ESOG for a couple of reasons. First of all, you hear me call them Engineered Solutions of Georgia. That word solution is intentional. They are a solutions-based company. Now, you may say, what does that mean? Well, here in particular is what it means for me. When it comes to the stuff that Engineered Solutions of Georgia deals with, cracked foundations, wet spots in basement, any kind of waterproofing issue in that area of your house, sometimes these things can be simple fixes. And when it is, that's what ESOG is going to provide for you. Other times, though, that's a little more intense work. And if you're talking about the structural integrity of your home, anything to do with the foundation or a waterproofing thing, you want smart people doing that work for you. Well, ESOG has two full-time engineers on staff. That means they're able to give you the expert analysis and quality craftsmanship that can only come from the people who've devoted their life to this kind of work. So if you're dealing with any of these kinds of issues, let me invite you to dial this number right here. Dial 678-ESOG now. 678-ESOG now. Dial that number, and that'll get you in touch with my friends at Engineered Solutions of Georgia. And it's great to have you with us here today on Dog Nation Daily. We will talk to Scott Werner later on. For now, let's catch up with our buddy Mike Griffith.
From Athens and across the SEC or wherever the recruiting trail may lead, here's a DogNation.com insider.
And Mike, as you know, it has been a busy time around Dog Nation as of late. The Kendall Milton news from Monday, fun video coverage of that. Dog Nation Days of Summer tomorrow. But there is also another pretty big moment on the calendar for this week, and I know it's one you in particular are excited about covering, the beginning of 2019 practices for the Georgia Bulldogs, the real deal, as they head towards that August 31st season opener with the Vanderbilt Commodores. With that in mind, Mike, let me welcome you back to Dog Nation Daily. We appreciate your time, and it's fun to be with you once again.
Thank you yesterday for stepping in on my show when I had some technical difficulties.
Yeah, Mike, it was great to be with you there. I enjoyed doing that. It was kind of an impromptu deal, but, you know, listen, it was a great chance to talk some Georgia football with the folks who love tuning into your show each and every week. So I was glad to be able to do that and glad to have you return the favor with me here today on Dog Nation Daily. So let me kind of dive right into this. When you're in Athens on Friday, when you're watching that window of availability for Georgia practice, when you're speaking to Kirby Smart himself, what are you interested in? What's top of mind for you right now?
You know, it sounds cliche, but really just the mood. You know, I was over there yesterday, and, you know, there's a buzz, and it's been an edgy off season in Athens. I mean, I know the Bulldog fans at large, you know, in their daily lives, you see the stickers and the license plates on their cars and the G logos as I walk through airports and things like that. They're very proud of this program. But closer here in Athens, where it's just such a huge part of the day in and day out, I think there's a ceramic Bulldog on 75% of the doorsteps in this town. And if not, there's the giant ones that businesses put out in front. I mean, this is an everyday feeling here. And there's an edge, and there's an anticipation for what's about to happen. And really, I think that's trickled over even into Kirby Smart's fan day, which, I'm not sure that maybe the guards there will be armed or something. I mean, this is a one-hour production that's, like you talk about lockdown, I mean, you know, only people can get their picture taken with Ugga, but only 150. I think Kirby's got him in training for the opener, too.
Certainly a fun thing to think about, or at least an interesting, you know, I know Dog fans have been kind of debating the merits of that one way or another now for kind of a while. But on the subject of practice, I think for me, one of the major sources of curiosity is going to be what goes on with these wide receivers, because Kirby admitted this back during the spring. that when you don't have a Lawrence Cager, who's a graduate transfer coming over, now Kirby couldn't mention him by name, but he was alluded to in some of this kind of stuff, when you didn't have a George Pickens and a Dominic Blaylock because they weren't on campus yet as high school seniors, not graduating, not ready to be on campus as of yet, it does, to a certain degree, slow down their development compared to the guys who could be there. I wonder how much Kirby Smart will give credence to that one way or another now that they are practicing. Does that put them behind the other guys in terms of being a factor against Vanderbilt, or maybe by September 21st against Notre Dame, the other big September game that matters? I wonder how much Kirby Smart will indeed talk about the progression of those three guys, who there's legitimately a lot of curiosity around because we did not see them in the spring. I wonder how much not being at the spring is going to slow those guys down, and I wonder how much Kirby Smart's going to admit that one way or another.
You know, I think that's fair to wonder about, you know, and we all try to speak Kirby and listen carefully to his comments and what he says and what he doesn't say, and I don't think he's going to disclose much. I really don't. I don't think Kirby's going to tip his hand, and quite frankly, I don't even know how much we're going to see the first three games of the season leading up to Notre Dame. I feel like there's a reason that Kirby's not having an open practice this year. I feel like there's a reason that he's limiting the autograph line to 1 hour and not allowing pictures with players and coaches. I feel like there's a reason for all of this, and that's because Kirby's going for the big prize. You know, you hear coaches and great leaders and CEOs say all the time that you can control, you know, to control what you can control. And Kirby Smart is one of the most thorough coaches I've ever been around. He's going to leave no stone unturned. And you can bet that if he does mention a player, it will be with strategic purpose in mind. It will be because he wants to use the media to send a message to that player, or because he believes that player needs to hear public praise or is deserving of public praise. But he's not going to do or say anything that could potentially give any potential future opponent any sort of insider information to his football team.
Well, along those lines, one of the most interesting things for me about the spring was the fact that there wasn't a lot of public D recruiting for guys like N'Kobe Dean, a five-star, Nolan Smith, a five-star. I'll even add Jermaine Johnson into that as well. You left the spring on G-Day seeing those guys playing with the black team, which was at least ceremonially, thought to be the first team defense. I wonder if we hear any more, I guess, pumping of the brakes from Kirby on those guys, because if not, then they're just a huge part of this plan. Obviously, you left spring thinking, I mean, for me, I definitely upgraded what I thought was possible for N'Kobe Dean in his freshman season, and I guess to a certain extent, I did some of that for Nolan Smith and Jermaine Johnson a bit too. I wonder if the summer heading into that season opener gives us much reason to pump the brakes on that, because there wasn't a lot of that post-spring.
Well, again, I think Kirby's being really conservative. And I feel like a politician here sitting on the fence, because I have some inklings and thoughts too, but I'm not the head coach. You know, I think you're right, though. You started this conversation talking about those new receivers. You better believe that Kirby's going to throw them into the fire against the secondary that he feels really good about. But there's some battles going on there too, especially at that star position at the corner. So, you know, my thought is Kirby's going to throw these guys in pads the first minute that he can. He's going to continue to practice in the dead of the afternoon. You see a lot of these other programs practicing mornings and nights. Not Kirby Smart. He's going to put these guys in the middle of the day in the heat. And he's going to see who does what, B.A. I mean, you know, for all the projecting that we can do and all the deciphering of the Kirby press conferences that we're going to try and make, this is going to come down to Kirby putting those guys in pads and pitting them against one another. I hope the UGA film crew does a good job. I get as much information out of those 30-second clips of watching those guys practice than we do going to practices where, you know, we watch them, you know, run patterns against air and maybe line up in some formations. But, you know, Kirby is really, I mean, the fact that he's playing at this, I've been around teams before on the verge of championship seasons. This is what it looks like. This is what it feels like. I think the mindset is right now. I know that doesn't help fans that want to get as much information as possible, but right now I think things have to play out.
I had a guy who would know tell me the other day some pretty complimentary things about Stetson Bennett. Is there a chance that Georgia feels better about its backup quarterback situation than a lot of people around college football might realize?
I think so, for a couple of reasons. One, until we see Jake Fromm go down, we all believe it can't happen behind the Great Wall. He was actually hit fewer times than any other quarterback in the SEC last year, according to some advanced metrics. So Jake doesn't get hit a lot. One, because of that great wall. Two, because of how smart he is and how quickly he's able to read defenses and blitzes. He also has an uncanny ability to get rid of the ball quickly under pressure. So, and I would imagine that Georgia's philosophy, especially early on this season, will be to make absolutely minimize. You know, they may not need to wash Jake Fromm's uniform until after the Notre Dame game. With the plays. You know, I don't think we're Jake Fromm running any RPOs or making bootlegs. PA. I mean, Kirby's very well aware that he doesn't have a five star behind him. Now that said, he does feel good about Stetson. If you were there. But I mean, for anybody watching or listening that was there at the spring game would understand why. I was very impressed with Stetson, but much, much, much more impressed than I expected to be. This is a guy who's not that big, doesn't have the strongest arm in the world, but he kind of looked like a mini Drew Brees out there in the G-Day game. Now, let me get straight here. I'm not saying he's Drew Brees. I don't even know if he'll ever take a practice snap in the NFL. But on G-Day game, he looked dialed in.
Let me finish with this really quickly. You know, if you were to ask me, is Georgia closer to being a national championship offense right now or a national championship defense? For me, it's much more likely on the offensive side of the ball. Therefore, despite the fact that wide receiver is a big issue and we don't really know yet about the tight end situation all the way around and the complement to DeAndre Swift still to be determined, I think Georgia on offense is a lot closer to being a finished product than it is on defense. So when it comes to reading your work at DogNation.com, I'm a lot more curious right now, Mike, about the defense. The pass rush, the ability to stop the run, something that Georgia did not do at an elite level a year ago, those are, for me, the far more significant issues, defense more so than offense. Would you agree with that?
I would agree with it on the front end. And this is where I'm going to get philosophical on you, B.A. I know you love it when I do this to you. I agree that on the front end, if we look at those lineups, that the offense is much more impressive and would be projected to finish much more higher in the national standings. But defense has championship depth. The offense, I'm afraid, is more fragile. And when I say fragile, I'm talking about an injury to Jake Fromm, an injury to DeAndre Swift, an injury to one of the three or four frontline receivers, an injury to Charlie Warner at tight end. Because suddenly, you take away Charlie Warner, Jake Fromm or DeAndre Swift, and all of a sudden, you think to yourself, oh my goodness, who's coming in? Yeah, I think there's and no disrespect to anybody in the backfield, because I wrote a story yesterday about that star-studded backfield, and believe me, they are really star-studded. But DeAndre Swift, B.A., is a very, very special guy. I projected 2,000 total yards for this guy in 25 touches. I mean, elite. I mean, potential top 10 NFL draft pick. I mean, he's there right now, and we saw how good he was last November. You take him out, and the backfield's not the same, okay? You take out, and I'm stating the obvious. You're going, well, Mike, everybody knows that. She sounds stupid. On defense, though, I think there's championship depth. I think you could lose a linebacker inside, a linebacker outside. It's plug and play, and we rock and roll. Same thing at corner. Maybe not quite as much at safety, although I do feel good about the safety depth they have there. I feel like the defense is more durable and will grow as the season progresses, whereas the offense strikes me as somewhat fragile with certain players that you really got to manage and protect. So I don't know if that makes anybody feel better or worse about the team, but that's kind of so. In the end, what I'm saying is I think it all kind of evens out because that defensive depth is so good. I feel better about what they're going to look like in December than maybe the offense, where I kind of hold my breath for a couple few players staying healthy.
It should be very interesting to see. It begins on Friday. Mike will have the coverage for you there at DogNation.com. Mike, I'll look forward to reading it and, of course, having you back here again on Dog Nation Daily very soon.
Thanks so much, B.A. You're a great teammate. I enjoy the show.
Appreciate that, my friend.
Let's take a look around the rest of the league. This is SEC Through.
Yeah, so I think that's really interesting, and there are obviously questions on both sides of the ball, but that is definitely something think about. Mike says he sees the depth there. I would question, though, the proven commodities, because statistically speaking, and this is the kind of thing that not everybody always pays close attention to, Georgia has been better offensively than it has been defensively. You think about Kirby Smart as a defensive-minded coach. You think about the overall toughness and physicality Georgia has shown. But this has been, from a national standpoint, I'm going to speak in generalities, kind of a top 20-ish type defense for Georgia the last couple of years. We're talking top five for the most part in most of these major analytical type offensive categories. So there's some work to be done on the defensive side of the ball to be on par with national champions. And as Mike said, you may have the depth and talent this year to address those major concerns. Before we get my a guy that I'm looking forward to be a part of with Dog Nation Days of Summer tomorrow night, Scott Warner, let's do our SEC through here just for a moment. Let me also tell you briefly about my friends at Kroger. You know, back-to-school deals have landed there at Kroger. For my kids, the first day of school is tomorrow, believe it or not. So we're lucky enough we've been able to go to Kroger and get stocked up on everything that you need. And I know for many of you, that's more than just the school supplies. It's also the lunches and, you know, just kind of everything. You can get it all there at Kroger. It's right there around the corner. And by the way, the good news for you with school around the corner, there's also a Kroger right around the corner from you, too. So please check out the Kroger right there in your area, and you can get some great back-to-school savings from our friends at Kroger. All right, a couple of SEC through stories before we get back to the topic of the Georgia Bulldogs. Did you see where Zach Smith, the former Ohio State assistant coach, who's got his own podcast now, and I saw this in a couple different places, but he was asked about Dan Mullen and essentially ripped Mullen. I mean, just went in hard on Mullen, saying that he's a good enough coach for what Florida is now, but not a good enough coach to what Florida used to be. The one thing that Smith said is that he only got the Florida job because they had been turned down by other places. Now, in fairness to Florida here, and I don't like being fair to Florida, but I will be in a couple regards, my understanding is they were never really going to offer Chip Kelly that job. That was always kind of a smokescreen. And in the case of Scott Frost, what I was told is that Frost wanted to bring his staff with him, and obviously Florida wanted to have some recruiters on the staff because that's not what Frost had typically been doing there at UCF. And so there may have been some differences of opinions, but one way or another, the Florida job after Jim McElwain was gone probably wasn't as attractive as it used to be. And Smith had some very choice negative things to say about Mullen, which I just eat up and enjoy. And listen, I can't wait to see this kind of stuff proven on the field, because I do think the Florida program has really fallen in stature. I've explained that now over and over, and I'll either be right about this or I'll be wrong. But it's really interesting to hear a guy that would know Mullen, now has got a total axe to grind, and is for the most part blacklisted from the good graces of college football. Nonetheless, interesting to hear him be so flippant in his disregard for what Mullen is right now. I have to say, even if it came from a guy who's got a little spiteful vengeance on his mind, it was still entertaining nonetheless. One more SEC through story I want to address here for a moment, and I find this to be really fun. A great, great subplot as we head towards those early season SEC non-conference games. So Sports Illustrated wrote this week about those top quarterback battles that are going to be going on as the summer practices begin. One of those that got mentioned was what's going to go down at Auburn. And what the Sports Illustrated writer suggested is that this is one of those quarterback battles that's better decided sooner rather than later. You got to have this thing decided before Auburn gets ready to play its high-profile game in early September against Oregon. And I'm not quite so sure that's necessarily the case. I think in the early season, as it goes, I think that you can go Gatewood, you can go Nix, you can split time between these two guys because presumably what they do is so different. What's going to end up being really interesting, though, is that there are some people apparently around the Auburn situation who believe that the favorite for this job right now may be the guy who's been in the program longer, Gatewood, because his overall skill set, given the fact that he runs a little bit, is a little bit more like what we're used to seeing from what have been the best of the Gus Malzahn quarterbacks. If that ends up being true, that will become the platform that the anti-Auburn people use to run Gus Malzahn out of town. Now, if he doesn't win, they'll use whatever they can against him. But with Bo Nix sitting on the bench playing Joey Gatewood, if this season ends up being what typical Auburn seasons have been as of late, 3, 4, maybe even 5 losses, and Auburn fans feel like they have a quarterback on the bench that Malzahn's not using, that will become a pretty ugly situation for him to deal with. And at that point in time, I believe that is the way that some folks will look forward to running Gus Malzahn out of town. You watch and see if I don't end up being right about that. We'll make that your SEC through. One way or another, though, that Auburn quarterback battle is going to be a pretty fun one to watch, and we'll have a good time covering that. But for now, here on Dog Nation Daily, though, I want to turn our attention back to the Georgia Bulldogs and what's going to happen tomorrow night at Brasstown Valley Resort and Spa with our Dog Nation Days of Summer. And, boy, I'm really honored to be able to say we have a great special guest coming in for that one. It's Scott Werner, a part of some of the great moments in Georgia football history, including the national championship in 1980. And he joins us now on Dog Nation Daily. Scott, first of all, thanks for your time on our program today. But more importantly, thank you so much for spending the evening with us tomorrow night. I've heard from so many people are so excited about having a chance to talk some football with you and hear some of your great stories. We think it's going to be a great time, and we think it's more fun to have you a part of it. So thank you so much for being here and also being there tomorrow.
Well, I sure appreciate the opportunity in both places. We're going to have a good time.
Listen, that's to be sure. And for so many people, when they get a chance to talk to you, obviously the thing that comes up is that national championship season. And you know the parallel here, because for a lot of Georgia fans, they're starving for that championship this year. They think it might be able to happen. For a guy that knows what it's like to be on the other side of that, actually having won one, I mean, what would you say to Georgia fans about just the challenges of going through all the way through the year and basically knocking down every obstacle along the way to getting that done? As someone who's been there, what would you say to the fans who want to do that again here in 2019?
Well, it's been quite an exciting ride the last couple of years, hasn't it? I don't know that there's a better stretch, maybe 81, 82, 83, and that right in there. With winning football games, which is what it's all about. Everybody forgets that there's 11 guys on the other side trying just as hard to win the game as you are. And you go back to 1980, somebody made a play. You know, at some point in time, somebody stepped up and made a play. And we've been one play away twice. And I mean, we really literally have played well enough to win the game, and we're one play away from somebody. And that's what happened in 1980. I mean, somebody made a play, and we ended up winning the game. That's the difference. It's almost like a bit of magic, yes.
Yeah, you're right about that. And, of course, you're too modest to say, but I'll say it for you. You're the one who makes that play against Notre Dame. It's your teammate Lindsey Scott and Buck Ballew against Florida. It's obviously Herschel against Tennessee and against some other opponents there as well. But kind of on and on that goes. And I think to draw the parallel to the modern – to the current team – when you say, hey, been one play away the last couple of years, the good news is that Georgia has been close enough where one play could have made the difference. And as you look ahead to 2019, it's also a situation where, at least based on the preseason rankings and based on what people like me who talk about this stuff for a living assume, that Georgia's going to be right there again where one play could make all the difference. You have to be in it to have a chance to win it, and at least right now, this current crop of dogs seems like they're close enough where they have a chance to potentially do what you guys did back in the 1980 season, right?
Well, all I can say is I'm looking forward to watching. I haven't been to practice going Saturday. I hope. We'll see. But I got to go to Athens, so I might as well kill two birds with one stone. Just to check in with Charlie and see what's going on. But, I couldn't tell you anything right now, you know, other than what y'all have put on the – I wasn't even in the country 2 weeks ago. So, yeah, it's I got to get back into things and get the knowledge. I participated in a season top 25 – poll, and I've got to get my football brain back on and start doing my homework.
Yeah, you got to start doing that for sure. You mentioned Charlie Werner, and he's obviously, as you know, a big fan favorite. So many of our listeners and viewers and readers of DogNation.com are looking forward to having a big season from him. How much fun has it been for you to see your name on the back of a Georgia jersey again? You've obviously got a family connection with him. I'm sure that's been fun for you to kind of watch his growth and development. I'm sure, as much as anyone, you're excited about what he might provide here during his senior season. It seems like he's on the doorstep of some really good things, and I'm sure it's nice to see Werner back on the Georgia roster once again, is it not?
It certainly has been a lot of fun. That side of it, we've chased them all over the country, my wife and I, you know, going to the Rose Bowl and going to Notre Dame. It gave me a good reason to get out and go do places I'd always wanted to see. And having him on the field made it that much that much more enjoyable. He's had a great time. He and Jake live together and right there in Five Points, and between their hunting and fishing escapades, there's no telling. But they have that problem that I always had, that football season and hunting season just don't jive.
I do know that's an issue, but it seems like those guys, at least based on some of the stories they'll tell from time to time, are able to sneak away on a Sunday and go get some of that kind of stuff done, which is a great chance to, I think, get away from football. And the other thing about this, Scott, is it's also, to my understanding, become a pretty good recruiting weapon for Georgia as well, because there are a lot of pretty highly regarded high school seniors guys over the last couple of years that kind of like the fact that there's this sort of outdoor culture around this Georgia team. And it seems like there's some guys that have kind of signed up for Georgia and become a part of this roster because they saw, whether it be Charlie, Jake, Ben Cleveland a bit too, these guys having a good time and enjoying that outdoor life. Apparently that's a pretty good magnet for some of these other good players to end up being a part of this Georgia roster.
I think way back 40 years ago, 1977, getting recruited, and my mind was a million places other than when I was at the time. I can assure you it was what I was missing back home with all the guys that were going hunting, and I was, in Tennessee or Florida or wherever. Anyway, it was good times, and I certainly made up for it.
Well, let me finish up with this, if you don't mind. You said something a moment ago that I think is really important. You talked about when you look at the run that Kirby's been on this last couple of years, and Charlie's obviously been a part of that, and some of these other players have as well, that it does, other than the national championship, it compares very well to what the early 80s teams did and maybe the beginning of the Mark Richt era, what they might would have been able to do. And isn't it important that the fans stop and take a moment to appreciate that, you know, being in a Rose Bowl in a college football playoff, being in the SEC championship game 2 years in a row, getting a chance to go back to New Orleans and be a part of a Sugar Bowl, despite the fact that it ended up not being a win for Georgia. That's still an incredible opportunity and a part of the legacy that these current UGA players will have attached to their name. And when you look back through the annals of Georgia history, that's a pretty good run in its own right, with 2019 potentially even better. Isn't it important to stop and appreciate some of that along the way?
Oh, beyond a shadow of a doubt. It's remarkable what they've accomplished and kept it up at such a high level. That's a struggle, big kudos to Kirby on knowing his players. I guess a lot like Irk Russell was. He didn't believe in all those preseason polls and all that other stuff. He believed in his players, and they believed in him. And I think that was a big part of. We were talking the other day, Frank and a bunch of Frank Ross, our team captain, about the Sugar Bowl and everybody not being able to breathe and how hot it was and how many people were playing had played in that game. And it was, I'd forgotten. There was dang near the whole defensive people, set two and three deep at some point in time were in the Sugar Bowl, playing the game.
How about that? That's really, really something to think about. And it's going to be fun to hear some of those stories tomorrow night as part of Dog Nation Days of Summer at Brasstown Valley Resort and Spa. We appreciate your time. We're looking forward to seeing you there. Hope you enjoy the rest of your day here, and we'll enjoy chatting with you again soon, Scott.
Thank you.
So great stuff there, Scott Werner, the former Georgia Bulldog, with us for Dog Nation Days of Summer tomorrow. And let me take this brief moment to remind you there's still a chance for you to be a part of it, whether you want to book your room and join us there tomorrow night, still that opportunity available. If you're in the North Georgia area, you kind of live around there, kind of anywhere driving distance away, just drive over and see us. The public event that night begins at 6 p.m. We'll be going to 8 p.m. or even knows how much longer. You can have some dinner, you can enjoy some cocktails, drinks, whatever you want to do. Just sit out there. My understanding is the temperature is supposed to be really nice, just a really great summer getaway to sort of sit back and relax, talk a little football, enjoy those last moments of summer. And, of course, some of us are lucky enough to get a chance to play golf on the beautiful course the next day and take advantage of a lot of those amenities and niceties that Brasstown Valley Resort and Spa has. It's going to be an incredible time. You heard Scott Warner name-checking guys like Irk Russell, the great former Georgia defensive coordinator, Frank Ross, and Herschel Walker. He's got stories on them all, and we'll do a lot of that as a part of Dog Nation Days of Summer. Jeff Sintel there, too. So what was it truly like to be with Kendall Milton this past Monday night? And what's next? Zachary Evans, Noah Sewell, anybody else? Jeff will be telling you those stories, too. So it's going to be a ton of fun. Can't wait to have you be a part of Dog Nation Days of Summer with us. That kicks off tomorrow evening, 6 p.m. We'll look forward to seeing you there. For now, though, we'll get ready to wrap up Dog Nation Daily for today. I'll do so by telling you about our Gatorhater Updater, 1005. That's where we are in terms of how long it's been since Florida's beaten Georgia. And I would suggest, although I don't have any inside knowledge to back this up, do you remember earlier this week I told you that Jervon Dexter, the Florida commit defensive lineman, on Twitter supposedly shut down his recruitment, saying he wasn't going to be looking to any more schools? I did see where he retweeted the Kendall Milton commitment from Georgia. Starts to make you wonder, is this really shut down? Is this really something that he's not going to consider looking around other places? Could this potentially be another UGA recruiting win over Florida? Numbers are tight for Georgia. It's hard to make any predictions one way or another, but I told you at the time, I didn't take Dexter's message to mean that he wasn't going to still consider the Dogs if they were to come calling. We'll see what happens with that, and see you tomorrow right back here on Dog Nation Daily.